We've been talking this summer about training in godliness from the passage that says, train yourself in godliness. Bodily training, physical training is of some value, but godliness has value in this life and in the life to come. So we've been talking about all these different ways that we can train ourselves. And today, this is going to be a very different aspect of training in godliness. If you took a person from 100 years ago, turn of the century, and you brought them to our culture, and let's just say you took a believer, so somebody that's been following Jesus for many years, growing up around 1900 or so, and you took them into, and you just placed them into our culture, there'd be a lot of things that would sort of like blow their mind, or that like they couldn't comprehend. The technology being one thing that would be so shocking, I believe, for them. They would just be blown away by cars and airplanes and lights and all of this, indoor plumbing, maybe praising Jesus for that. But all of these pieces of technology that have come. But I really think the biggest thing that would surprise them, the shocker, would be this. I think the biggest shocker would be this. They would say, what are these glowing devices? What are these glowing things that everybody is staring at? All the time. And they would walk around and they would see, boy, this must not just be a thing of the world. This must be a thing of the church. Because I see Christians also. And I think they'd be blown away by cell phone technology. And so today, we're going to talk about training in godliness with our cell phones. I'm going to not apologize. Understand this has convicted me over these last few weeks. This was spurred from a Wednesday night study where we talked about this. And it was as if the Spirit just came into that meeting in that moment in that study, and multiple people said, this needs to encompass all of us, because it is such a significant cultural thing. So I want to pray for us. And please ask the Holy Spirit to, number one, guard your heart. Number two, soften your heart. So please pray for me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for this place that we can come. Lord, maybe we're getting a little taste of what it would be like to be a Christian, a believer, a follower in another part of the world where air conditioning isn't even a thing. So Lord, we bond with them today and we recognize and we remember them today. And Father, I just pray that anything that is spoken would be spoken ultimately of you, God. May nothing be my words, Mark's thoughts, Mark's ideas. May it all be you, Holy Spirit, speaking to your people about something that is so important, so cultural. But Father, we want to train ourselves in godliness. Lord, we want our cell phones to be seen through the lens of godliness. So Lord, would you help us in that? Holy Spirit, move powerfully. May there not be 1 ounce of condemnation, not 1 ounce of shame. Any conviction that you want to do in us, Lord, make us soft in our hearts to that conviction. Lord, help us to realize that anything that you had asked us to do would only be so that we could walk in greater freedom. Lord, you want us to live as free, because Jesus, that was what you paid for at the cost of your life. You paid for our freedom. It is for freedom that you, Jesus, set us free. Help us today. Speak to us today. We recognize that this is a tricky, touchy subject. But Lord, be in our presence, be in our midst, and move, speak, work, Jesus' name. Everybody said,
amen.
We're going to begin with a passage in Romans chapter 12. I'm going to have a bunch of questions today, so a lot of today is going to be questions that I encourage and challenge you to reflect on these questions. I'm not going to answer them for you, but my encouragement would be to consider all of the questions in light of God's heart, spoken through His Word, and in light of this thing in our culture that is so prevalent and powerful that we call cell phones. This also can be adapted to tablets and to computers and screens in general, and there may be application for you in a general sense in any stream, but I'm going to focus today on cell phones, okay? Romans 12, 1 and 2, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. My first question for us today is, with my phone, am I conforming to the world or being transformed by the Word? With my phone, am I conforming to the way that my culture says, use this, or am I being transformed, metamorphosis of the mind through the Word and the Spirit spoken through the Word and the dogma? Cell phones promise many things. Three of the things that they promise are convenience, connection, this isn't publicized, and dopamine. Convenience, connection, and dopamine. All three of those are promised, and in some ways, they are, in one way, able to produce that. They produce convenience, they can produce connection, and they definitely hit dopamine. They promise this. What they don't say is all of the potential side effects that now we have great scientific study showing what are the potential side effects of this in what we would call a normal use, hours a day, what we would call a normal use of this, but now they are showing what the effects are. I'm going to go through these very quickly. Potential side effects of cell phone misuse or overuse. I'm going to talk physical, mental, and social health, how it affects all of those. You will never see this on an iPhone ad. But I believe I'm telling you what it's to do today. Potential side effects on our physical health. Number one, sleep disruption or disturbance. Number two, eye strain. Three, neck and back pain, because of the position they often use and look at our phone with. Reduced physical activity. There's a danger, text, talk, and drive danger to our physical health. We know of all of the accidents and deaths that have been caused as someone is texting or talking and driving. And there's not solidified study that, but there is some studies that would say it possibly even can cause be a production of cancer, arthritis, and it can spread germs. We haven't done a lot of that, but it can be affecting our immunity. Just for a moment, look at that list of potential physical side effects. Remember what it promises. Here's what it potentially costs. Number two, mental or emotional health, potential side effects. It has been shown, proven to increase anxiety and depression. Overuse of our cellular technology will make us more anxious and make us more depressed. Shown to do that. Reduced attention span. We have a much more need to move on to the next thing, move on to the next thing. It's very difficult for us to meditate on Scripture. Very difficult for us to pray in silence to the Lord. because we're moving at a pace that is unnatural to what it means to be human. It's unnatural. Emotional isolation and loneliness. It promises connection. And in some ways, it can offer a level of connection. But in the big picture, it actually produces more loneliness and more of a feeling of isolation. FOMO, fear of missing out. This is especially true on social media. We look at everybody's highlight reel. And everybody's highlight reel is so good, subconsciously, we have this fear. We hear of an event. We don't know if we're invited, or we don't know if we can go, or we don't know if we'll be welcome, we don't know. And so we have this fear that wells up inside of us. Much of this, on a subconscious level, a fear of missing out. And then, of course, you have social media and others, we can have self-esteem or comparison issues. Why isn't my life like that? Why don't I look like that? Why don't I have those blessings? Why don't I? It affects, my friends, our mental and emotional health, our social health, how we interact and live as a society. We actually, it promises connection, but through the use of cell technology, we actually have fewer true relationships. Because we're getting an artificial, superficial, high-level connection with people, we don't have the time, the energy to invest. And then they don't think of the need to invest in true relationships where we sit with people face to face, have conversation, get to know each other so we have few true relationships. There's online problems that we can experience, cyberbullying. Can't tell you the number of relationships that have been impacted negatively because of this in so many levels. Negative social impact. We have reduced empathy. We would think that our cell phones would cause us to empathize. The problem is we're seeing so much positive and so much negative that our empathy takes a hit. Because we can't, and we're designed to engage in an empathetic way with so many things, we learn how to cut off the top of our empathy because we just can't empathize with that many people and that many things. It's an unnatural way to engage in people's pain, and it reduces our empathy. And finally, we can actually even have a false sense of relational reality. We can believe that these relationships that we have online or through our phone are real. We can imagine them to be something they're not. And so we have this reality, and it's warped. Because now we're seeing relationship through the lens of technology rather than seeing a relationship through the way that God designed it, which is sitting as often as possible face to face with your brothers and your sisters in community. Question number two. Are cell phones affecting our walk with Jesus? Are cell phones affecting our walk with Jesus? Think of these five similarities in our walk with Jesus. Remembering that we are not saved by anything that we do. Can I get an amen? We are saved purely and simply the all-sufficient finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, paying for our sin, taking our place. We are saved by grace through faith in the incredible gift of Jesus. So let's never forget that our salvation is never a work of our own. It is never something we add to. If we have to add to the work of Christ, then it wasn't sufficient. Thank you. And we grow in Christ by training ourselves in godliness with the work of the Holy Spirit and the diligence that Jesus calls us to. So could our cell phones be affecting any of these five areas? Our personal Bible study and reading. Our prayer, our communion with the Lord and abiding in the vine of Jesus. Our worship, remembering that worship is giving our full attention and affection to something or someone. Could it be affecting our church life? We are all designed and given gifts that are essential. Every single part of Hope City is an essential part to use the gifts, the energy that you have to serve and to build up the body of Christ. And finally, in an others-focused life, there's something about technology that pulls our focus in. Even as we're looking at things out, it pulls our focus in. And so it could be affecting our humility and seeking others first. I want to think about a couple passages in light of our cell phones. 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Cell phones are lawful. You can have and use a cell phone. That is your option and your right. If you have the financial ability to do that, then you can own a piece of cellular technology. You can do that. That's lawful. But we have to ask the question, is this helpful? There's an assumption here, is this helpful in my relationship and walk with Jesus and my relationship and walk within the church? Is it helpful? And then ask the question, am I being dominated by said technology? Domination means that it is controlling me. I am not controlling it. Very similar verse, still in 1 Corinthians 10. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Another question, is my cell phone helpful in my walk with Jesus, in my relationship with others, and am I using this to build people, others, up? Or am I being controlled by it? Luke 11, Jesus spoke some incredibly powerful, I think, in this world, prophetic. I don't think he was speaking of cell technology here, but when I read this passage, these words of Jesus in light of technology, it really, really did something inside my heart. Jesus says this, no one after lighting a lamp, remember the Holy Spirit comes inside of us to light the fire, the light of Jesus Christ, so that the world can see our light reflected that is in us and then that is out of us. Grace is the divine influence of my heart and its reflection in the light. And so when Jesus said, no one lights a lamp, that is the lamp that has been lit inside of us. When we trust in Jesus Christ, there is a fire that is lit. You know, he says, no one after lighting a lamp puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but he puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. When what is coming in is healthy, my whole body is radiant. My being is radiant. I radiate the light of Jesus, the fire that was lit through Christ by the Holy Spirit of God. But when your eye is bad, your body, yourself, your being, is full of darkness. Therefore, Jesus says, be careful. Be careful. Take care. Think, ponder, pray, consider, dwell upon. Be careful, lest the light in you be darkness, be dim. If then your whole body, your whole being, all that is emanated from you, if your whole body is full of light, having no dark part, it will be wholly bright as when a lamp with its rays gives you light. This can be light coming in, but without care, it will also be darkness coming in. It will. There is, maybe not equal parts, but there is both light that can come in through our cell phones, but there is also, if we are not very careful, darkness that can come in. And not all darkness is just satanic, devilish, what we think of as darkness. This is anything that is ungodly. Darkness is not of the light. Anything that is not of light. He says, Jesus says, be very careful. Because when you let in what is not of the light, your whole being will be dark. You will walk, even though you are the light of the world, you will walk as though you are not. Or let everything that comes in through your eyes be light, so that you reflect the glory of the light and the greatness and the goodness and the grace of our God. And Jesus says, be very, very careful. Be careful. What is going in? What is going in? This is a question this week that has brought me great conviction. And I had to ask it of myself. And therefore, I'm going to ask of you the next question. Could our cell phone use be idolatry? Could our cell phone use be idolatry? Because if it is, then it is not something to be trifled with. It's not something to take lightly. I've realized in my own life, I will say things like, yeah, I'm kind of addicted. Yeah. I'll say it like that. Yeah, I'm on my phone too much. Kind of like saying, yeah. Nothing I'm gonna do, but I'll kind of work on it, I'll think about it, but I'm on my phone too much. I just stand out. If it is idolatry, we'll see, hear me in this. If it is idolatry, it must be dealt with as idolatry. And the question was very specific. Is my cell phone use idolatry? Very few people would worship an inanimate object, even though it's been going on for thousands of years. We don't necessarily worship this little box. If our traveler from 100 years ago came in, he would say, why are they worshiping the little plastic thing? But I believe what has become more of an idol is the use of that thing. When it's off, we don't sit there and stare at it. Pretty boring. We worship the use of it. And if this has become idolatry, then there's really only one thing that we can do. 1 Corinthians 10:14. Therefore, by my beloved, flee from idolatry. That word is to run with everything you have. Run with everything inside of you from the idolatry, if it gets idolatry. Remember, idolatry is worship of anything other than God. Remember, worship is giving our full attention and affection to that thing. If this is getting my full attention and affection at any moment of any day, remember, we are to live a life of worship. We are to be in constant worship. We are not to go in and out of worship. So if at any time I am giving this, or what is on that, my full attention, my full affection, then I love you, Hope City, but it's idolatry, and you have to run from it. Sure. You have to. If the light within you is not going to be darkness, then we cannot serve both our cell technology and all that comes with it and Jesus. Our heart has one object of worship. Anytime we try to worship two things, it never works, and one will always take dominance and preeminence, always. Is it idolatry? And if it is, flee from it. Start talking to the Lord about that idolatry, confessing that idolatry to Him, letting Him know, God, I'm no longer going to joke about this. I'm no longer going to just make it this thing that we do as a culture. I'm done with that. Dear God, help me to remove this from a place of preeminence in my life, even for an hour a day, even for a moment a day. Don't let me worship this. It's lawful. I can use it, but don't let it become an idol. And then number two, if it is not an idol, 1 John 5:21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Keep yourselves from all idolatry. So if it is not an idol in your life, Jesus would say, be careful. Because this is one of the most powerful objects of idolatry, maybe the most powerful, like in our culture. And we've called it, yeah, I'm kind of addicted, yeah, I'm kind of on my phone too much, yeah, I wish I could still have, yeah, I wish. If it's idolatry, then call it idolatry, because then the Holy Spirit of God can come and give you the power to walk in, remember what I create, freedom. See, idols promise freedom, but what they give is bondage. They give bondage and promise one thing, they give another. Only Christ can give us true freedom, amen. I had to come up with some tips. These are tips that have been in my life. How can we have healthier cell phone use? I just came up with five, it's probably 500. I want this to just get our minds and our hearts thinking and processing. Number one, take a day, a week, one day of the week off from technology. Sabbath can be a great day. If you don't, Sabbath can be offered to you as a gift. Remember, Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath. But one day a week, you just rest in Jesus and enjoy Him and celebrate Him. What a gift. What a great day to take a day off from all technology. What a great day to turn everything off other than the phone. If you want to use it as an old school phone, just turn everything else off. If it's your only phone, then just for a good day a week, just use it as a phone. Number two, be quiet and low grade. What do I mean by this? You can turn off notifications. If you don't know how to do this, ask somebody younger than me. You can turn off notifications. Your phone does not have to ping at you all day long. Somebody showed me how to turn off all my notifications. So I don't get a ping, I don't get a little red number, I don't get any of that stuff on my phone. So if I'm gonna go and read a text, I don't even know if somebody sent one. I'm gonna go to that when I have time. If I'm gonna go and read an email, which I rarely do, forgive me. If I'm gonna go and read an email, I'm not gonna know that an email came in. I've got to shut off all my notifications until I'm posting. You can go silent. You can make your phone quieter. You have the power to silence and quiet your technology. The other thing, and so we talked about this on that Wednesday night. I've been doing it since then. You know, you can make your phone gray. You can put it into this board called grayscale. I will tell you, it is so much more boring, you will not believe it. Can I tell anybody what she said? She's like, your phone is depressing. Awesome. It's boring. You know, all these colors and all of these little icons and all of these things are meant to stimulate us, to draw us in. That is why if somebody wants to drive you into their restaurant, to their store, they put a light, they cause it to flash, they put nice colors. Because we are drawn by color, we are drawn in visually. Remember, our eyes are the window spaces. We're drawn in, so you can go silent and go gray. This is one that has been important in our marriage. If you are married, please turn to this. If you are married, hopefully, give your spouse full access to your phone at any moment of any day for any reason or no reason. Give your spouse full access to your phone so that at any moment they can say, if I just go get your phone, and do not put up a fuss and do not argue and do not say, why, I will tell you, I promise you, it feels invasive. This is my phone. Not taking my phone. Give full, unbridled access to your spouse. It will build a natural, healthy accountability. It will build something positive. And as your spirit hates when you hand it over, know that hating that is good. Because it has grabbed a place in your heart that you don't want to let go. So when you feel like, give it. Don't ask questions. Don't complain. These are tips. These are tips. Number four, choose people over technology. Hopefully, can you just get into the habit if somebody walks into the room that we are in, any room, we just put our cell phone down? If you're on your phone and somebody walks into the room, put it down. Just put it down. If there's a choice between people and technology, choose people. As crazy as this sounds to say this is a big deal. Choose people 100% of the time over your technology. I'll pull the bad card. Jesus chose people. He chose the human side of life. He chose people over technology. Number five, you want to be really radical? If you're a radical type, if this has become full of idolatry, get a flip phone.
Woo!
Get a flip phone. We had somebody at Hope City within the last few months that felt this stirring inside of them that it had become idolatry, that they weren't able to manage that, and it was affecting so much with their walk with Jesus. And they recognized it. And they decided they were going to trade in their smartphone for a flip phone. And I counseled this person before because they got so nervous with even thinking about it. And then I talked to this person on day one of giving their phone up to this flip phone, and they were having physical effects, withdrawal effects. Talked about this on Hudson, and they have now shown in the medical field that our cell technology is as addictive as cocaine. And you will have a similar, not exact, you will have a similar physical response because we are so addicted. So much of this, we don't like to leave this. And you see this, if you ever forget your phone, or if you leave your phone, or if you can't find your phone, you go on a panic search like an addict. You go on a search, and it has been shown to be as addictive as that. This person that gave it up and got the flip phone. A month in, they said, you know what? I'm sleeping better. He said, I'm praying more. My relationship with Jesus, it's gotten better. If you're radical, prayerfully consider that. I want to end with this scripture verse, then we're going to do something different that I've never done before. 1 Corinthians 10:31. This is a holistic verse, and I want to end with this. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, that word whatever means whatever, whenever, with whomever. That's a very all-encompassing word. So whatever you do, wherever you do it, with whoever you do it, do all to the glory of God. That word glory is the Greek word doxa. We get our word doxology from that. It means to praise, to honor, to worship. Do everything for the worship and the glory of God. Everything at all times with everyone, anywhere we are, do it all through the lens of worship to God. All, always, everyone, everything in our life is meant to be an act of worship. My final question, what if, Jose, what if our cell phones became objects of technology used to worship God rather than technological objects to be worshipped? What if we saw this differently? What if we saw this as a piece of technology that God could use to help us to worship our Creator, and everything that we did on this was an act and an offering of worship? What if we saw these as pieces of technology that we could use because they can be used positively? What if we used them as objects of worship rather than something to be worshipped? What if? How would that change our community? How would that change our lives? What if? Can I get 4 volunteers, please? This is what I've never done before. So, what I have in here, we're going to pass, you can start passing also. Listen, what these are, you guys, is these are little stickers. And I have hundreds of them in these 4 little pins. If you didn't get out, just raise your hand. There's a lot, there's words, there's crosses, there's hearts, there's the little Holy Spirit dove. There's a lot of things in here. And what I would encourage you to do What I would encourage you to do, and I did this, is to take one of those stickers and put it on the front of your phone book. Put it on for sharing. So that your eyes are seeing your tech. Now, you can take more than one for your upload devices. I know this seems silly, you guys. I know this might seem silly, this might seem childish, it might seem like marks over the top here. But I will tell you guys that at the time I put one of these stickers on this week, and in the time that I have this sticker, it caused me to look at my technology differently. I'm looking at my technology through the lens of worship, through the lens of glorifying God. And I'm going to get a sticker, I'm going to put one on my tablet too. So you can take more than one sticker if you want to. Yeah, I've got plenty of stickers. If you don't want to do this, I'm not pressuring you guys, but if you don't want to do this, let me ask you why. I would encourage on the screen of your phone. And what it will see for the next, let's just say 40 days. These stickers are not going to last forever. Unless God does some wandering in the wilderness, sandal, miraculous thing. But what if we did for the next 40 days? What if we saw our technology through the lens of objects, of an object that we can use for worship God? And every time we go on, we are reminded, is and does this worship God or does it not? Because we are to do everything at all times with everyone for the glory, the worship, the doxology of God. We are to offer, the saying about this earlier, surrendering every part of our life. Okay. If you have a phone, would you please take it out? You've never heard me say that. I mean, you haven't heard that very often. Please take it out. Please take it out. Now, I'm going to walk over here. You might say, well, I'm just being dramatic. That's fine. I've been called worse than that. Trust me. But I want you to look at your phone. Look at it. Everybody look down at your phone. Take a look at it. You can look at the front. You can look at the back. Look all over your phone. Look at it. And then look up here. And then look at the cross. Do that a couple of times. Look at your phone and look at the cross. Okay. Look at your phone and look at the cross. Worship team, if you want to come forward, please. So we're going to have a song where I would like each of us to ask some of those questions just between us and the Lord. And we're going to sing. This first song, I would encourage you, you can sing, never tell you you can't sing, but I would encourage you in your own heart between you and the Lord, ask those some of those questions. And if anything was stirred up inside of you, man, dive deep into that. Don't let that just go. Don't block that away. Because remember, this is for your freedom. This is not for some holier-than-thou thing. This is for your freedom and your freedom only. Jesus came to make you and I free. It's not that we can't use this, but what if we saw this as an optical technology that we can use to worship, glorify God, rather than something to use? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time. God, you are good. You are worthy. Father, I pray that each of us consider, Lord, we would be careful. Lord, if something pushed back this morning, help us to step into that pushback. Lord, if something made us really uneasy, God, help us to step into that uneasy. Lord, if you want to set us free, then Father, help us to let go of temporary things. Lord, may we place these phones at the altar of your cross. And may we use that exclusively to worship, to build, to be helpful. Father, I thank you that you alone are worthy of our worship, and we were made to worship. But you are also exclusive in that worship. We love you, dear Father. Stir our hearts, work in our hearts. Holy Spirit, move powerfully in this room in these moments. Show us, God. Reveal to us what you want us to do, how you want us to apply this. For your glory, for your goodness, and for our freedom. In Jesus' name.